Welcome to Inside Out, The Naked Truth, where we explore everyday issues to discover their core truths so that we may understand them, open our hearts, add a little more fun to our lives, and see it all from another perspective.
Tonight's show is coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of Northern California. And here at Lupin, in case you don't know, the clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And I am Errol Strider, Rochelle's partner of quite a few years. And together, through all these years, we have been and will tonight explore the truths or the hope-to-be truths that we are looking at through humor, conscious conversation, poetry, music, skits, and your comments.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Go Raw, 100% natural organic raw food that not only tastes good, but is good for you.
Ooh, good, yummy and good for you. And Go Raw can be found in Whole Foods and the organic section of Costco, among other places, including Trader Joe's, for those of you who have the good fortune to have a Trader Joe's in your neck of the woods. So go to goraw.com to find a store near you and find out more about the Go Raw products. And I always like reminding people this show is The Naked Truth, sponsored by Go Raw.
Yes, I know, we love that. That's a it's a wonderful symbiotic relationship.
Yep.
And if you want to speak to us at any point, you can call us at 888-627-6008. And that, again, is the number is...
Just open your window and yell. We'll hear you.
888-627-6008.
Okay, I'm excited to get into our subject tonight, Rochelle. Do you want to introduce it?
Yes, I do. We're talking about feelings, the language of relationship. Feelings. Oh, man, we have feelings. Lots of them. Sometimes they take over our body and mind and interfere with our spirit. I mean, we can see feelings on people's faces, in their body language, our smiles, frowns, tight muscles, wrinkled brows, bald fists, sparkling eyes, all convey our feelings. We feel, no matter our origins, our gender, our age, we feel. We cry when we are sad or hurt. We laugh when we are delighted and happy. We get angry when we are betrayed. We all feel. Does this connect us to each other? It seems sometimes that our feelings separate us from each other rather than see our commonality. For when I am hurt, I see you as my enemy. The phrase, do unto others as I would have them do unto me, brings us into union. So does knowing that you hurt as I hurt create a bond or separation? How can we convey our feelings in a way that doesn't trigger more feelings? And are emotional feelings different from spiritual feelings, or feelings that are prescient, or feelings that guide us to the highest? Well, the highest feelings, maybe they are the spiritual feelings. Feelings can and often do bypass our rational mind. One cannot even understand why we feel a certain way. Why on a particular day we will feel sad or wake up ebullient. Why does weather affect feelings? And almost certainly, feelings affect our relationships.
I need a word so I can say what I'm feeling today. I need a word so I can say how I feel. I need a word that'll say what I'm meaning to say and tell you the way that I'm feeling.
I made a wish with all of my heart to take a rocket ship up to the moon. I'm sad and I'm mad and I don't have a rocket, 'cause the wish that I wished did not come true. not the wish that I wished did not come true.
I need a word so I can say what I'm feeling today. I need a word so I can say how I feel. I need a word to say what I'm meaning to say.
And tell you the way that I'm feeling.
I have a friend with a cape who can fly through the sky. And I'm jealous 'cause I wanna fly too. Well, I'm proud that I know him and I'm happy he's my friend, but I wanna be a superhero too. Yeah, I wanna be a superhero too. Nobody wants to be angry, I know.
Nobody wants to be sad,
but I can't always help the way that I'm feeling. Be happy all round. We found the words so we can say what we're feeling today. We found the words so we can say how we feel. We found the words so we can tell you our feelings today. We found the words so we can tell them to you.
You know, David, I know exactly how I feel right now.
Me too. How do you feel?
I am joyful that I have a good friend like you.
You know what? It's exactly the way I feel.
Come on, David. Let us play another one.
From Sesame Street, that was Grover and Dave Matthews needing a word. And speaking of word, this program, tonight's subject, was inspired by a poem that I wrote many years ago called Feelings, the Language of Relationship, which I'm going to share with you, and then we're going to get into this language and see if we can learn to speak it better. I do recall, I don't know if I've shared this with you, Rochelle, but one of my absolute favorite universe insight gatherer is Teilhard de Chardin, and he said that feelings are the language of the soul.
Uh-huh.
So let's see how those two things interface. So I'm just going to jump in and do this piece. It is called, as I said, Feelings, the Language of Relationship. I speak fear, so you'll know I need assurance. I speak fondness, so you'll know you can come near. I speak anger, so you'll know my frustration. And I speak delight, so you'll know I am here.
I speak grief, so you'll know how deep is my loss. I speak gratitude, so you'll know I'm fulfilled. I speak hatred, so you'll know I'm distraught. I speak exuberance, so you'll know I am thrilled.
I speak despair, so you'll know I've lost hope. I speak tenderness, so you'll know I really care. I speak frenzy, so you'll know I'm confused. I speak firmness, so you'll know I'll be fair.
I speak sadness, so you'll know I am hurt. I speak gladness, so you'll know I've been touched. I speak bitterness, so you know how much I've suffered. And I speak joy, so you'll know I love you so much.
I speak joy, so you'll know I love you so much. There you have it.
I think that this piece, Feelings, the Language of Relationship, is a way that we can understand where people are coming from them when they have a feeling. You know, like, we don't always understand why we feel the way we feel when we're in the middle of a feeling. Because, as I said in the opening, that feelings can definitely bypass our rational mind. I mean, sometimes you're just in a feeling. You're just feeling it takes over. It's like it takes over your body. It takes over your thoughts. It even takes over your spiritual connection. It's just, it comes up. And I'm interested in, I don't know what causes, I mean, I know what causes it, but where do these feelings come from? You know, in the sense that we seem to have them, and for most people on this planet are run by them. And you would think,
have you checked in with, like,
no, but most... you can see it. You know, you watch movies from other countries, which I love to do, you know, where you have little words on the bottom that tell you what they're saying. But even if you didn't see those words and didn't hear what they were saying, you would feel them. You would feel the actors portraying the feelings that go along with those words. And I find that interesting. It doesn't matter whether it's a Japanese movie, a Chinese movie, a Norwegian or movie. It doesn't matter where it's coming from. Those feelings are there, and we respond to them as human beings.
Well, I'm very aware of how my feelings are triggered by thoughts. I'll have a thought or a perception, and it'll trigger a feeling. Like this week, I've had an array of feelings. Like for a couple of days, I was feeling really sad. I'm still feeling a little sad. And, I lost my three big toes, you know, and it just kind of, Rochelle looks at me like, you're being silly. Okay, I'll come back.
I thought you were sad.
I was sad. I was mad. I was sad because I was disappointed, and I was disappointed because I had an idea of how I wanted something to be that I was invested in, I cared about, and it wasn't forthcoming. And so it was kind of a downer and made me sad, very sad. Mm-hmm.
Well, now you said that your thoughts about that triggered off the sadness.
Yes.
See, I think that they sort of come so quickly together that did the thought trigger off the sadness, or you just feel a feeling and then you rationalize why you feel that way and that becomes the thought?
See, this is interesting. Before the Tonight Show, we were having this disagreement, and I don't know if it's a male female thing. I've heard other people suggest that the thoughts come first, but what do they know?
I don't know.
For me, I'm very conscious of thinking a thought, creating a story around that thought of expectation, and then betrayed expectation, and then the letdown. And so we call that the sadness.
Right, so that's sad. But what is a thought? Do you have a thought before you laugh?
Well, often I do. That's the thought that triggers the laugh. It's that very thought. That's like if it's a punchline of a joke. Yes, I do have a thought before I laugh.
Well, just something, just you watch a little child and you laugh because it's adorable.
Well, but something is impacting you. You don't just laugh. And it's striking a note of recognition in your mind.
I don't debate the fact that it's striking something in your mind. But what I do debate is that your mind creates the feel. Well, our minds create everything. You know, all our feelings, whether they're what do you call it, physical or emotional. I mean, I guess what we're talking about right now are emotional feelings. And then we have more than one feelings. We have physical feelings, like if you stick a pin in your finger, you're going to get hurt, but that's not mental.
Let's just talk about emotional feelings, and let's let you think about that question, because I would like to get into the language of the emotions, regardless of whether they're triggered by our thoughts or feelings. But you can call in and make a comment anytime, 888-627-6008. And maybe you know the answer to the question, do the feelings trigger the thoughts? Do the thoughts trigger the feelings? Or is there another guy in the room?
I mean, I think everything in terms of feeling has to do with our brains. But is that a thought? You know, like the brain says, this is painful. And you react to the pain, of course, because you that signal is being sent to your brain. Body sends the signal to your brain. Your brain sends the signal to your body. But is
head
that
bone connected to the tailbone? Remember that song, Tailbone?
Yes,
connected
I
to
do.
The.
I do remember that song. But the thing is, what I'm interested in is like I work with so many people on a daily basis whose feelings are constantly forefront of the relationship they have with me.
Well, let's start with one of the most popular feelings, and that's fear. A lot of times, especially if you get any anger, now we have that down here, we speak anger, so you'll know my frustration. I think that's important. And of course, that combines with the fear. But so all these outbursts of fear in whatever form it is, anything from worry to paranoia to whatever, to its consequence, obviously. Anger. It's because we need assurance. That's my perception and understanding of, or at least that's the way I choose as the writer, the poet, to interpret that. That underneath that fear is a need for, underneath the expression of that fear is a need for assurance.
Right. And there are so many things that you wrote in this piece, like hatred, despair, frenzy, bitterness. These are all triggered by fear, that's for sure. You know, but I was thinking after I read this out loud, that is love a feeling? Is love a feeling? Or is love something that goes beyond feelings? Or is it love a feeling and something beyond feelings, like those three words that the Greeks had for love, which was...
I want to answer your question. I think that love produces a feeling. I think that we talked about the exchange, I think, last week, and I think that the degree of the quality of the exchange causes whatever feeling you have. For example, if you want something and you get it, in that exchange and you get it, you'll feel good. If you want something and you don't get it, you will then react and feel bad. And everything in between.
So expectation leads to feelings, either of good feelings or bad feelings. Expectation, that's the only kind of...
No, that's just one thing that we want to consider, is expectation.
Throw your pearls to swine, and then.
was that?
That was Joan Baez singing a Keith Richards song, hmm. No Expectation. It's funny, when you listen to the story of that song, she obviously had an expectation, which brought her to this town, and it didn't work out. But she left her expectation behind, which is good, because I think the expectation is a huge part of what causes so much uncomfortable feelings and discord and et cetera. We have an expectation of how somebody or something is supposed to be, and it doesn't be that way.
It doesn't be that way.
No.
May not be grammatically correct, but it's certainly correct in terms of how it feels.
Yeah. And so then it backs me up to look at, well, what's my expectation? Like I had, did I have a desire this week that wasn't fulfilled and caused me sad, or an expectation? Probably both. Expectation. Well, if I do this, then I expect to have that response.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that amongst people that I live and work with. You know, I did this, but I don't have that response. And so I get mad or angry or frustrated or sad or whatever, all those things.
Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, these are reactive feelings that depend on something that So I'm going to ask this question, you know, to myself as well as you. Are all feelings reactive? Are all feelings a result of something that happens? Or do feelings like something, like you see a baby in a cradle and it's gurgling. It seems happy. I mean, it's like smiling and gurgling and looking joyful. And what triggered those feelings? I mean, it certainly didn't have an expectation. It's not cognizant of, it's not conceptual yet to have expectations, but it's joyful. It's just sitting there in his little cradle and it's being happy.
When his mother was pregnant with the baby, she was watching a Netflix movie, and it was so funny. Her belly started going like, and the baby was like so happy that he couldn't keep his mouth shut, and it opened up, and it was his first smile.
Right. But it's a question that's worth considering, in the sense that, and like feelings are so many different things. Like there's those three, the three ways to express love that are eros, you know, the romantic love, the sentimental and passionate love. Then there's the filial love, the love we feel towards our brethren and friends and parents and siblings and children. And then there's agape, which is a feeling. It's definitely a feeling, but it doesn't seem to be triggered by something other than that which I cannot see or feel or understand.
Every time I feel the spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Every time I feel the spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. It's time to pray. Leave for
That was C.C. Winans reminding us to feel the spirit. See, now that feeling comes when we get the assurance that our fear drives us to, I mean, the fear that we're expressing is saying, assure me, or at the very least, don't eat me if it's some, if we're look edible to something.
I guess this, you know, I don't know if it is a gender thing or anything else. To me, it's like, to me, the feeling comes first, and then my mind takes it in and figures out what's happening. I'm not talking about the feeling may originate in my brain, but that's not my mind. It's not the same as my thought processes. But I don't experience that the thought processes leads to the feeling. I have the feeling, and then my thought processes tries to understand why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling. Because if I walk out the door and it's and the sun is shining and the leaves are rustling, just so the feeling that comes over me is so peaceful and beautiful, and I don't figure it out. It's not something that says, oh, when you have walked outside your door and you've seen the leaves and you have felt the calm, you feel this way. None of that happens. It's just a feeling.
Well, it's instant.
It's instantaneous, right? So there's no, to me, there's no thought that's going on because the thought takes a certain amount of time.
I'm going to give you, I'm going to see if I can stimulate a feeling right now. And this is absolutely genuine. In the poem, the fourth line of the first stanza says, I speak to light so you know I am here. But as I'm looking at you, Rochelle, I speak to light because I know you are here.
Okay, so I just felt delighted by that.
We both shared in the delight.
We shared in the delight, yes, exactly.
But there are moments today when anger was spoken and frustration was felt.
That's true.
In our little domestic arrangement.
Yes, and it always, my anger always has to do with wanting something to be different than it is. And if it's different, not only different than it is, but if it isn't the way I think it is going to be, something bad will happen. And I get angry. And it's almost like the anger, the way a gorilla pounds on its chest, is to keep the bad things away. If
That's
I get
good.
Angry, you know, that it will keep, it's like my putting out my yell, and that will diffuse the bad things.
Right, right. But yell loud enough. Well, you know, because there's something to that. Remember we were at the woods at Yosemite and the bear came and you yelled loud enough.
I did, and the bear got so scared he ran away.
I ran away. Several of the other campers ran away. We all were like, Jesus, get out of here.
Hold and me. Our friend who was with us.
He ran away. I've never seen him since.
No, she said, shoo, shoo, bear. Like the bear didn't hear that at all.
Well, we don't know. That bear may have been trained on that shoo, shoo kind of language.
I didn't think so, but I didn't think so. But I felt a fear when that bear came upon me. I felt like, whoops, I could be eaten or something. Certainly, I could lose my life. And the fear triggered a response. In that sense, you know, the scream, which was loud and penetrating and scared the bear.
Well, here's another language feeling description. I speak grief, so you'll know how deep is my loss.
That's pretty lovely.
What do you make of that?
Well, we don't acknowledge grief enough in our world. You know, I mean, I shouldn't say in our world. I mean, in our small circle world, because in a lot of societies. Grief, when something bad happens, grief is really acknowledged, very big. You know, it's a big thing. You know?
But what about all the little griefs? I have a feeling that that's what contributes to that inner frustration, is that we have a desire, a hope, and then there's a death to that potentiality. Let's say if you want something, you don't get it, and you're 3 years old or 2 years old, and it just died. And do you experience grief at that point?
Well, certainly the tears of a child feel like they're grieving.
Huh.
Like even with something taken away, you know, a small thing, like you remove something from that child and it cries. You know, it's like there is loss. We seem to respond to it very quickly. I think we're feeling animals. We are feeling animals. And our feelings, I believe that our feelings have a progression in terms of evolution, that, and I'm not going to speak of higher and lower, but a progression in the sense that they become more and more inclusive, so that the agape love, which is sort of a relationship with something more than we can imagine, even more than we can define, fills us with such joy and peace and connectedness, where the Eros love seems to fill us with confusion and all sorts of tormented...
And babies,
yes, definitely babies. But it produces like a whole bunch of like very primal feelings.
Well, yeah.
And the filial love, which is a little closer, where I see my brother as myself, I have this sense of you in a different way, and I can see you and care about you. I care about you.
Then there's the third one, which is the agape love, which is that spirit love that I think that you were describing and she was speaking about. But then there's just this fundamental feeling of feeling itself that is so much a part of us. And what I was going to say is music. I mean, think about it. Music is such a huge conveyor of feelings. Why do we love music so much?
Trying to forget my feelings of love. Feelings of love.
Feelings like I've never met you,
and feelings like I'll never hold you again in my arms.
Fantastic arrangement of that great, wonderful song. That was Julio Iglesias and Barbara Streisand.
No.
Yeah, that's what it said. Wow. That was... I listened to more than one version of that song before selecting that one, and I was touched by it. I hope you, listener, to Insight Out the Naked Truth on this Tuesday, April 15th. I hope you got your taxes in. You may be feeling a little... barren or bereft right now, if you haven't.
I have to say something, because you started out talking about how all your feelings come from a thought. Well, that music triggered off a whole bunch of feelings that were not thought-induced.
I didn't say all my feelings come from a
thought. But there again, there's this...
Four of them came from an authentic engagement.
That's right. You felt those. You felt that music just went someplace in you. And a feeling was just aroused by that music.
Okay.
And I think those are emotions.
Okay.
Yes?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay,
good.
Let's hear
all right.
Emotions. All right.
Yes.
Moving right along.
Emotional
Call us.
Feelings.
We'd love to hear from you. 888-627-6008. I know you've had some feelings. Now, this is one that I've experienced, and it says, I speak despair, so you'll know I've lost hope. That feels really true. I feel really that those two really go together. So then the question is, how does one regain that hope? Well, you know what? That reminds me, I actually wrote a piece called Hope.
I think hope is something that you can have in the universe, and you just have to want it. Because sometimes when you feel despair and you feel like you're deserving of despair, you can bottom out and you can really just dwell in it. And wallow in it is actually the word I was looking for. You can wallow in despair. What happens when hope is rekindled, you know, the despair seems like... I don't know, like a fog that just goes away when the sun comes out. And the sun is always there, as hope can always be there. But the despair, like a dark cloud, gets in the way of it.
Well, let's listen to this piece that I wrote and see if this might, in fact, give us an insight, a felt insight into hope. Side of a steep canyon, I long for the rise, the view from the top, to see terraced hillsides as they descend onto green vineyards. The wall, so high, seems like a block of stone, only a short ascent from the thorns of my abode. But as I step back and my view widens, so it also darkens. For the unscalable height is revealed, and I stand inadequate for the task. Hope ranges far beyond the summit, mocking me from beyond my reach. Though breathing down through the winds, the inescapable breath of its presence. But still, the mountainous walls, broken only by precipices and chasms in my own beliefs, cheat me of the knowing taste of vistas. I wish that a giant ladder were dropped that I might climb easily to the crest, or that a mammoth crane would descend to hoist me above the ruins of my own thinking. But my desires, heaved up at the hillsides, fall back to land, listless, awaiting yet another vain attempt, until I gather them to burn in the fire of my frustration. The winds are waning, and hope seems but a shadow. As the walls rise on all sides, so does my depression seem to climb. As yellow dry grass dies on the hillsides, I tire of the unsatisfied look upward, which only pains my neck, until I can no more sustain. Finally, the wind itself dies. Not even the feel of hope comforts me. The fire is lit, but only the smoke of discarded wishes ascends. As the ashes thicken, I look upon the earth and step into its wet, soggy surface. Having given up the cry for the hilltop, despair moves my footsteps to nowhere. I trudge for distances, aware of my feet on the soft cushion, dotted with thickets, rocks, and logs. And ironically, note my adjustment to the place of no ideals. A few blades of grass charm my journey somewhat, and I content myself with knowledge of their pending profusion, until one very special step leads me onto a mound, my first change of height. Dare I look up to see where I am? I chance the pain in my neck and find it has been pacified by the walk. I see that I have found a path that leads upward toward the mountaintop. As I round the bend, I notice familiar breezes, and my heart lifts. the gentle breath of hope approaches once again. Is it possible that this is the path to the top? That having taken one step at a time, eyes to the ground, I could have started up the mountain? Around another turn. Confirmation. As I see and feel the source of the wind, not so far off, friendly, hope seems to be within my grasp. So near after so long a separation, I climb with less effort now as the welcome view and breath of hope paves the way, making all efforts promising. And then I see. Hope did not mock me, but waited only for my willingness to scale the mountainous ideals by the step-by-step strength of earthly determinations. The breeze seems to lift me now as I waft ever upward on light steps, and the buoyant winds of the future. The summit, though still distant, seems already attained and even reaches out to greet me. I now sense the vision that will abound and even dare to imagine the panorama of light reflections in the wind, which bring glistening sights of mountains scaled by the bold attempts of the hopeful.
Very beautiful. Now, would you consider hope a feeling? Or a thought?
Oh, we're still discussing this. I don't care. Let it be. The point is, how do we respond to hope and these other, if it's the language of relationship, if it's the language of the soul, then that means fundamentally it's there to communicate and reach out into the universe of otherness, of that which is beyond me, as well as that which is within me, and to see, to make a connection so that like in music, you want to resolve a chord, that discrepancy is resolved, and the universe is expanded because there is union, and then there's the joy in the union. But approaching that union is often filled with discomfort and disease and dangers, and there's all those D's again, and doubt, and that leads us to discordant noises, like we're hearing in the background someone's trying to light his motorcycle or whatever you do with motorcycles.
I don't know. It's sort of making a lot of noise.
But it's noisy. Anyway.
So that noise is causing me an irritation. Now, that's a feeling to me. It's irritating me.
Right.
Because I would really like not to have that noise there.
Well, there you go. So
it's my just I want it to be different.
Right. So there's the thing. There is the issue. We want it to be different than it is. If it gets to be different in the way we want it, we feel good. And if it doesn't, we don't feel good. I have a feeling.
Are we getting a phone call here?
I don't know if we're getting a phone call.
I hear a bell ringing.
I hear music and there's no one there. Remember that song?
I hear music and there's no one there. Yes, I think I do remember that. It was part of my childhood growing up.
Well, you know, we're almost at the end of our time. This is the Laughing, I started to say the Laughing Heart. Our company's the Laughing Heart, and the Laughing Heart is, you can go to our website, thelaughingheart.org, and see videos of our work. And come back next week. We're gonna take on another daunting question, and you can email us with interesting responses or dull ones, as the case may be, to eastrider@gmail.com. But I really want to leave you with this feeling. So here we go.
But a slow glowing dream that your fear seems to hide deep inside your mind. All alone I have cried, silent tears full of pride in a world.
Let me just bring that down a little bit, because we've got someone who's online, possibly, with a question. Are you still there? Are you Deborah?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can. Go.
I don't have a question. I just was so compelled to call in and say thank you. I've been listening for about 6 weeks now, and I wasn't going to call this evening because I was a half an hour late, so I missed some of this program, but I have just got to say thank you. The two of you are exquisitely creative and outrageously talented and such a beautiful dance together, and thank you for the program that you bring to us. And I don't have a computer right now, but if you would be willing to give an email address, I'll have somebody shoot you over an email and give you my phone number if you'd be interested in talking to me.
That would be lovely. eastrider@gmail.com. You know,
is
I'm sorry.
Is it like E-S-T-R-I-D-E-R?
She is in dirty or dog or determined.
So just initial E?
eastrider@gmail.com.
Okay.
But Deborah, I'm sorry you missed the first part of the show because we were talking about you almost exclusively.
The poem that you read brought tears, and I have got to have that. It's, oh my goodness, it's beautiful.
Which one? Hope?
Yes.
Well,
we'll let that go for now, but it was one of the most.
Well, thank you, dear. We really appreciate it. We're so glad that you're responding to what we're doing, because based upon your reaction to what we've shared, you know how much we care. So,
absolutely.
So we're going to let you go now, and yes, send us an email, and in the meantime, let's get back to What should we focus on before we take off? I think maybe let's just sum it up with this little comment. which will lead to our next show, is what's needed.
Communication is the key to life. Communication is the key to love. Communication is the key to us. There's over 1,000 ways to communicate in our world today. And it's a shame that we don't connect. So if you also feel the need for us to come together, will you communicate with me?
Message sent.
So it's all about communication, isn't it, Rochelle?
Well, it seems that way. And I feel, and Deborah, if you're still listening, thank you for your call. It's so nice to hear from you. Sometimes we think we're all by ourselves here in this little office at Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. And so it was nice to hear your voice. How many minutes do we have? Seconds?
Well, we've got probably a minute or so. What do you got?
Well, I just wanted to remind people that fear and is an emotion that can save our life, or it can keep us from being in relationship with other people.
That's right. And learning to ride the fear and being conscious of it, even just stepping back and developing the witness, that's more, what I'm doing more and more these days, is just stepping back and looking at it and not letting it just have its own way with me, but basically saying, you know, I'm going to be with you and see if I can learn a little bit of what you have to say. And that's, we hope that you're learning something by being with us, and we'll be here next Tuesday night and in our continued probing for the essence of existence. And remember, resistance is what you add to pain
to make it last longer and hurt more. This is Rochelle Strider.
And Errol Strider. And saying good night.
Good night.
From California.